Welcome to the 153rd episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee, and I'm joined by fellow master of the quiz, Mark Davis.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Sorry, I coughed over your intro.
That's all good. That's all good. I didn't even notice.
Yeah, well, we'll fix it in post.
We'll fix it in post.
There's nothing to fix. It's a little cough.
I just remembered a joke I was going to make that I forgot to write down and forgot to make it. I was going to say, welcome to episode 150 Lee with Quizmaster 3.
Oh, okay.
I was going to flip it.
You're going to flip it.
But it's gone.
They'll flip you.
Next time we're going to do 154. I can't make a Lee rhyme with
do
that.
Do the music all over again. Do the music right here.
That sounds good. Welcome to episode 150, Lee. I'm your host, Quizmaster 3.
Lee!
Great joke, right? I was working on that one all day.
You switched 3 and Lee around, you son of a gun.
Yeah,
I did. Spoonerism.
A little bit, yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. We've been taking off, huh?
Yeah. We had our second month in a row where we broke our all-time highest downloads record for the month.
We broke it in April, and then we broke it again in May.
Yes, yeah.
Holy cow, thank you guys.
Yes, that's all thanks to you. You're sharing the podcast, getting the word out, and of course coming back and listening to us week after week. And thanks again to Skylar for stopping by last week.
Oh, goodness gracious, and great balls of fire.
Yeah, dropping the deets on that Death by Chicken too. July 30, yes. Nice guys.
We already got our 6 people.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot wait.
Yep.
I'm going to, I even, confirm. You know, it's funny. I almost messaged you because I already told my boss that I would work that day. That was a Saturday. I was willing to work overtime, and I had to tell her the importance of chicken.
Yep. Real ones
like,
now.
Yeah. I was like, look, I'm going to be a little bit late. I got to eat chicken. She was like, okay.
Understood.
Yeah, of course it's understood.
I would understand.
Me? Yeah. I would understand.
Well, had an interesting week of trivia besides my own. We went and checked out Dallas's trivia at 10:25. He did the Disney trivia that he mentioned when he was on.
Didn't even bother. Time. I knew I would get eviscerated.
Well, we did some like studying ahead of time, which I know is like, I always tell people like, don't bother studying the categories. There's so much information. The likelihood that you're going to study for everything and get, you know, all the answers right in a really wide topic like Disney.
Right.
You know, it's a fool's errand.
It is.
But we did anyways. We brought up some Disney questions that I had written, you know, just to kind of refresh the knowledge. And then when we got there, I remembered it was Disney Plus, not Disney.
Oh, no.
So we were like, and there were some like Disney animated movie questions, but it was mostly like the whole like questions from each aspect of the streaming service, multiple shows, movies and stuff like that. So it was a great trivia.
Do you remember any points you got?
I think we got in the 40s, upper 40s,
okay,
about mid-tier,
you okay know? Hey,
yeah. So thank
you. Embarrassed by?
No, yeah, it's about what we expected. We treated it like a date night. It was just the two of us, you know. We weren't rolling deep with our trivia homies or anything like that,
right?
But why don't we go over our weekly wrap-up?
Yes, I'd love to do that.
Okay, on Wednesday at Pointy Bell Brewing Company for quiz number 323, we had 15 teams, kind of a busy night. And I asked a truly hated question, Mark.
Uh-oh.
I asked, on Lost, Hurley fixates on what series of 6 numbers which are repeatedly shown throughout the series? And I practically had tomatoes thrown at me. People were like, boo.
Why?
I guess because it's such a specific thing, you know? And Lost is already kind of like a, like Game of Thrones, it's a controversial show, mm-hmm, you know? And I thought this was fair game because I was a Lost nut back in the day. And I wrote this question out of my head. I remembered because Hurley says, tons of characters on the show say it. Hurley is the one that fixates on it. Because
he wins a lotto. 8,
15, 16, 23, 42. Yes, he uses the numbers as the lotto. And then when he is put into an asylum, one of his old friends is like repeating the numbers. And he's like, how do you know those numbers? And that kind of kicks off his whole conspiratorial thinking, you know, which leads to the Dharma Initiative. Anyways. Lost. I like it. maybe that was a bit too specific. I would maybe never ask that question.
I think again. It's definitely one of those like, oh, I know too much about this and no one else knows anything about this.
Yeah, I could feel the heat in the room like start to arise.
That's a bummer.
As far as the score goes, though, Not Your Mom Doggy Style took the first round in a tie over Quiz in My Pants. The second round was led by Dixon Cider. And for the third, it was our meeting of the teams, the Moist Men, joining the Shiba Inu Illuminati to become the Moistening. The Shiba Made Me Do It, who won the third round and our quiz with 86 points. Quiz in My Pants coming in second place for the second week in a row, this time with 72 points, and Wicked Bad Bitches and Hombres in third with 68 points overall. So close.
Damn.
Thursday, we were back on Twitch streaming Mega Quiz number 132. Ye Old Dumb Slut Elise capturing her first ever victory on the platform, 197,044 points. It should have been higher, but I botched a question there as well. I mistook the Verve for the Verve pipe. Oh. I was asking about the Verve pipe, but I had the Verve as the correct answer. Another one I wrote out of my head. I need to stop doing that. So her score should have been a little bit higher, but we're going to keep it at the official score since we can't verify player response time and adjust each player's score individually. Baja Men Tribute Band Alex came in second, benefiting from the botched question with 183,243 points, and H-Bomb and Friends in third with 152,465 points. Mark, how did your trivia go at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesday?
It went well. We had quite a few teams playing. It was a very good time. The first round going to Not Your Average Yinzer with a perfect round.
Wow.
But the second and third rounds both going to Black and White Cat. The one man, he's basically like Seth in the future. He's a one-man powerhouse. He decided he wanted to start going out more often, started coming to Nice Guys for Trivia, and he's been handling most teams pretty well.
Wow, is Seth coming out too?
Seth did come out, yes. He did come out and he did play, but yeah, very, very good night for him. A perfect last round. So, yeah.
The Black and White Cat, was that the team name?
Yep, if you want to call it a team.
Right.
Because it's just him, so it's almost like a...
player name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
a player team.
Yeah.
Right, like a player character in D&D.
Right, yeah.
All in all, sounds like a very exciting week.
It was a good time.
If you want to join us this week, you have a few opportunities to do so this Wednesday.
Oh, hold on, sorry. I forgot to mention... we had Jenny in the Zoom as well as
Team Captain Jenny.
Yes, we had Jenny as well as Whiskey Tango and Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt and company. But Black and White Cat beating all of them as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on out to Nice Guys Pizza and issue the challenge to Black and White Cat. That's the second week in a row for them?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Could go for a turkey this week unless... you stand up to the challenge. That's at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesdays with Mark Davis in Cape Coral, Florida. And as he mentioned, you can play on Zoom. You can find the link to that in our show notes. This Wednesday, June 2nd, we're at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida for our 324th pub quiz. We'll be asking questions based on our players' category requests. Join us for your opportunity to win some free beer and suggest some categories for next week's quiz. Join us at Pointy Bell on Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, or play along on our Twitch channel. No, don't do that. We're not doing that anymore. Mm-mm. I don't know why I said that.
No.
I need to get that rid of the part out of the script.
Yes.
Go play Mark's Trivia on Zoom instead of on Twitch on Wednesdays. This Thursday, June 10th, we present our first general knowledge quiz at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. As I mentioned in the last episode, we took topic requests at Quizmania, so we'll start off with some of those, but join us to suggest trivia topics for our next quiz at Ollie's. Prizes include gift cards, which can be spent on records, beer, or whatever else you can find for sale at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. That's Thursday, June 10th, 7 p.m. And Monday, June 21st, we're back on Twitch with another mega quiz based on your category requests. Join us for a 90-minute general knowledge multiple choice quiz, which will include audio and visual rounds. That's Monday, June 21st at twitch.tv/nononsensetrivia. And of course, as I mentioned, every Wednesday, Mark Davis is at Nice Guys Pizza in Cape Coral. 8 p.m. is when that starts. Also on Zoom.
Zoom away. Zoom with me. All these new listeners. Come on.
Come to the Zoom.
Play the the Twitch mega quiz when it happens. Interact with us.
We'd love to see you. And don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit, and join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us. Won't you? No guests this week, so we just got weird with
it. Yeah.
Just had to get it out.
Yeah, we're got an empty nester on our hands.
Manu e Manu, ooh, as we like to say. Yeah.
I bet you Manu's listening right now going, damn.
One day we'll have to have Manu e Manu e Manu.
Yes,
please. With Manu.
With the Manu.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a little break, and then we'll be right back with our first round of trivia questions. All right, we're back. Mark, a trivia question, if you wouldn't mind.
I'd love to. Here's your first question. Lisa Gibbons was the co-host of what show from 1984 to 2000?
Lisa Gibbons. 1984 to 2000.
Yes. L-E-E-Z-A. Lisa.
So a year before I was born, and then until my sophomore year of high school. I don't recognize the name. It could be a news show. Could be like PBS NewsHour, NBC Nightly News. I don't think it's like a morning show, because those people are pretty famous, and I don't recognize that name. Maybe it's an MTV show like Yo MTV Raps. Lisa Gibbons. Could be a game show. You said co-host?
Yes.
Co-host. Okay. I don't know about a game show. I don't know if I would consider like Mo from Guts a co-host. Personality, official. Mo is an official. So you might use a more distinct like word for that. Or Vanna White, would she be considered a valet? What's her? No, that's wrestling. They have valets. What's Vanna White? What's her job title?
Co-host, maybe?
Record clapper?
She is considered Vanna Marie White, née Rosich, born February 18th.
And she has the record for most claps.
She's a film actress known as the hostess of Wheel of Fortune since 1982.
Oh, okay. All right. Well.
So she's considered a co-host.
Okay. 1984 to 2000. Hollywood Squares have a co-host?
Saw a video today of the words. The phrase was, Bitcoin is the future. And someone guessed bitches is the future.
On Wheel of Fortune?
On Wheel of Fortune. And Pat Sajak is like, this is Wheel of Fortune. Like, why would we have that? But plus, the CH was taken. Like,
yep.
Or the H-E.
Brain fart.
Yeah, because I think it was B-I blank, 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 S.
Or maybe they realized, but they couldn't, like, you know, hold back the opportunity to say that.
I was going
to
say, it may have just very well been like, you never get this opportunity to say bitches are the future.
I'm going
to
say Yo MTV Raps. I'm not sure, but maybe they had a woman co-host back in the day.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. This woman was painfully white.
Oh, okay.
She co-hosted with John Tesh for a while. Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, okay.
Entertainment Tonight.
Lisa Gibbons.
Lisa Gibbons, yes.
Okay. I have a TV question for you, but it's going back a little bit further.
Okay.
Due to a rights dispute, what series of comedic films, I guess this is more of a movie question.
It sounds like it.
Well, yes. There's some TV involved.
Okay.
Due to a rights dispute, what series of comedic films produced by Hal Roach would later be re-released to theaters and in television syndication as The Little Rascals.
Can I hear that one more time?
Due to a rights dispute, what series of comedic films produced by Hal Roach would later be re-released to theaters and in television syndication as The Little Rascals? It had another name. He lost the rights, but he was able to still release. He lost the rights to the name, but he was still owned the footage. So he just re-released it with The Little Rascals as the new name, which I think is the more popular name now.
Yeah.
Which is why I wrote this question.
I remember. Wow. It's so weird not having anyone to suss with.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a long time. It's been a while.
Yeah, my mind goes there too.
It's been a long time. It's Cake. I'd prefer that.
Yep. I'll try to use that one next time.
It's like Something and the Gang. I'm trying to think of something that would have a rights dispute. Spanky and the Gang? Alfalfa. I can't remember who else is in there. Spanky, Alfalfa, Buckwheat. Having trouble thinking of something that would have had a that would have had some kind of dispute with something legally. I'm gonna say Spanky's Gang. I'm close.
You're so close. It's simply titled Our Gang.
Our Gang.
Our Gang.
Fuck.
On the silver screen. Our Gang. On the silent silver screen.
On the silent
silver screen. They had over 40 main cast members in the Our Gang films.
Jesus.
They had so many cast members, and it was so long ago that by the time that everybody like got old, there were several actors or several people who claimed to have been the actors on Our Gang that weren't. Like, there's several stories of people saying, like, oh, yeah, I played Buckwheat in Our Gang. And, you know, journalists, people know are like, no, you didn't. Like, this person did. But that's not the only example. I'll post a link in the show notes to more on that.
All right, here's my next song for you. I'm going to give you the harder version first. I'm going to give you the easier version if you can't get it.
Okay.
What British band that peaked in the 1980s was reportedly named after people being shot or hung in World War II? Specifically war criminals. That's
wow.
Part of the lore is.
Wow. The band name takes itself from this concept.
Mm-hmm.
Pet Shop Boys. Tears for Fears. Some other 80s bands. It's like hard to. Well, you said that they peaked in the 80s, so. It's got to be somebody like the Cars. No, why am I not? I can't think of like some of these like Talk. I hate to ask for the easier one right away, but I just don't feel like it's coming to me.
It is pretty hard.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll give
that was the version you asked at the.
No, this is okay. The version I asked.
Oh, okay.
What British band that peaked in the 1980s with the song True was reportedly named after people being shot or hung in World War II?
True. Okay, that is a bit easier, given the song title. I don't know it, though. And you said they're British. The Smiths, The Cure. The Fall. Patrick had The Fall as an answer for one of his questions when he was on. I don't think it's them. I don't think it's any of those bands.
Know this much is true. That's the song. That's as much info as I can give.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
Yep.
Bloop, 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 bloop. Man, I know this band name. It starts with a T, doesn't it?
No.
No, it doesn't? Oh, shit. I don't know this band name. It's not Sade. Is Sade more 90s? It's a little bit of a crossover.
Yeah.
Early 90s, late 80s. I don't know. I gotta throw in the towel on this one.
Spando Ballet.
Spando Ballet. Okay. I did not know that.
So they actually reportedly got the name from graffiti they saw on a wall.
Huh.
But there are a lot of rumors that Spando Ballet was the name that was given to people that were hung and swinging and their feet swinging in the air in the Spandau prison in Germany. Or the Spandau gun that was used when people running while they were being shot at.
So this is kind of like a Joy Division adjacent band name.
Joy Division is another, yeah. And
World War II inspired band name.
Yep.
Okay.
For those that don't know, Joy Division, Love Will Tear Us Apart Again, named after the prostitution area in World War II.
Yeah, in concentration camps, usually basically sex slaves.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to flip my questions around and ask you a related question, actually. I'm going to ask you about somebody who was executed for their war crimes after World War II. So not in Spandau, but elsewhere. Who was Japan's prime minister during World War II?
I feel like there are just names that I know and I just have to kind of pluck one. So I'm going to say you said Japan, right?
That's right.
I'm going to say Hirohito.
No, you fell into the trap that my players did, actually.
Okay, yeah.
Hirohito was the emperor.
Okay.
But Hideki Tojo was the prime minister.
My life.
Yeah, not to be confused. Tojo was widely seen as culpable for his crimes, and he was basically unrepentant as well. Hirohito's responsibility is more controversial. Some scholars see him as a powerless figurehead, while others claim that he bore more influence and power than previously believed. But listeners, Quizmaster specifically, this question, this is a good sleeper, because 90% of my teams answered Hirohito, and one answered Hideki Tojo. So if you want one that's going to like kind of flip the game a little bit, I think that's an ace question for that.
That is a great question.
Thank you.
That is a great question. Here is your third and final question of this round. Which of Shakespeare's plays involves a pound of flesh? So nice seeing all your face.
Yeah, without the pop filter.
Yeah, we got Daddy went out and bought some.
These are windscreens, foam, technically.
Windscreen.
Yeah.
Pop filter-esque covers.
Yeah, they work the same.
After seeing
they work
some
from
videos.
The wind of her mouth. They stop the wind of her mouth from hitting the.
Well, I saw some other videos of podcasts where they were using these, and I was like, why not us?
Right. We just come from a music background, so we just have pop filters hanging around, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And then this was, thank you so much, Patreon supporters also, for helping out. Keeping the proverbial lights on, as we like to say.
And keeping the proverbial pops out.
What was the question?
Which of Shakespeare's plays involves a pound of flesh?
I don't know. I do know that Hamlet has the most lines of dialogue. And it's one of the more popular ones. It could be Macbeth. It could be Twelfth Night. It could be Midsummer Night's Dream. It could be Othello. Is that what the pound of flesh is referring to? Othello's D.
Big ass hog.
Rumored, right? Isn't it in the play that he's not actually having an affair? It's like a rumored thing.
I don't know. I've never heard that before in my life.
All right. Well, I guess, yeah. Should I go with Hamlet? Othello, I mean, there's, well, both are kind of vengeance tales. I can't think of what the pound would be in Hamlet. Pound of flesh. Romeo and Juliet. King Richard. I just don't know. I'll go with Romeo and Juliet. Why not?
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
That's why. That's why not.
This kindness will I show. Go with me to a notary. Seal me there your single bond, and in a merry spot, sport, if you repay me not on such a day, in such a place, such sum or sums are, as are, expressed in the condition, let the forfeit be nominated for an equal pound of your fair flesh to be cut off and taken in what part of your body pleaseth me, from the merchant of Venice. Shylock demanding.
Oh,
a pound of flesh.
Now that you mentioned the character, if you had mentioned the character's name, I might have gotten there, but I guess that would be a pretty big giveaway.
Not to be confused with Frylock.
No, from the Aqua Teens.
Yes.
Canada, my last category for you.
Okay.
Which Canadian city is Alberta's most populous city and is nicknamed Stampede City and Cowtown due to the 10-day rodeo event that takes place there annually?
Oh, boy. Manu, where are you?
Alberta's most populous city.
Alberta. Do I really show my ass? I live in something, Alberta. Ugh. Cowtown. I feel like this is a question.
You're a 90s wrestling fan, right? 80s, 90s wrestling fan?
Yeah.
The Hart family is from this city. Stampede Wrestling?
Huh. Owen.
Mm-hmm. Breet.
Brett.
The Breet Hitman. Hart. Breet, the Breet. Hitman Hart.
His name is Breet. Breet here. Alberta. I'm from Vancouver and British Columbia. Halifax, Nova Scotia. Ottawa. Ottawa is the capital of Canada. Is Ottawa a city? From Toronto, Alberta? Toronto? Something Toronto. The Toronto Maple Leafs. The Edmonton. Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton a city? Oilers. Oilers makes me think it wouldn't be this. Though I guess oil and fucking bulls and shit go hand in hand, like Texas.
Yeah, it's Canada's Texas.
Edmonton? Edmonton? Toronto Maple Leafs? Edmonton Oilers? Edmonton? Alberta? I want to say Edmonton.
So close, because Edmonton is in Alberta.
Oh, it is.
Yes, but holy Calgary shit. Is the bigger city. Calgary.
Calgary. Fuck. Mm-hmm. More like Calgary.
Yep.
Am I right?
Because of the Cowtown. Cowtown. Yeah.
Calgary.
You got it.
I wonder if anybody calls it Calgary from there. They should. That one's change free. It. Hey, yep. Manu, tell your friends.
This is Calgary now.
Calgary.
Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owen Hart used to say that all the time. Jeez. I'm from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
I'm just pleased that I picked a fucking place in Alberta. Are you kidding me?
I'm impressed as well.
Wow. Can we take a break?
I think, don't we do one more?
No, I think
that was
it.
3-3.
Me,
okay.
You, oh, yep, me, yep. You, me,
you're
you.
Right. Yeah.
And now we take a break.
Yeah.
Now we rest.
Let's
On the sixth question, we rest.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with Missed Corrections
mm-hmm.
and a second round of Yummy, Yummy, Dreamy.
Back, and it's time for some missed corrections. Missed corrections.
Beautiful.
We heard from team captain Aaron, Aaron Dyer. Aaron writes, hey gents, you should pronounce the G in the name of DL Hughley.
Oh, Hughley. Wow.
Yeah.
Oops.
Just a heads up. Love the show as usual. Thank you, Aaron. And then I just wanted to mention we got the details wrong during Skylar's MLK Usher question, sus. We said that it was Clint Eastwood is who we're sussing. We were totally wrong because the answer was Samuel L. Jackson. Mm-hmm. But we thought that it was Clint Eastwood who marched with MLK, but it was Charlton Heston.
Okay, I did say you Charlton did, Heston,
yeah.
Didn't I? Okay.
Yeah, I just want to clarify because we did end up going with Clint Eastwood, I think. So just okay. To clarify, you know,
man, that's I had what all we the right of. Answers except for I also had the wrong one. But
yep. And we got plenty of wrong answers in this episode, too. It's good, you know, one sure. On one to remind people, you know, who we are and what we can accomplish or can't accomplish.
I was talking to someone. And they were like, I listen to the podcast. You're so smart. And I was like, if you really listen to the podcast, you know, I'm not smart. Yeah. It's very, very much the opposite.
There's a difference between knowing information and reading information.
And looking it up. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Researching it. How much of it? I think I was talking to someone else and they were like, you must be so smart. Remember? I was like, oh, none of it sticks.
Yeah.
Like every once in a while. Like
in fact, sometimes I wonder, am I filling too much in there? You know, like, right. Is there too much unnecessary trivia information in my head that's like pushing the important stuff away? But anyways, if you hear something a little off and you want to write us with a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no-note, you can call us at 1-929-356-6966. Write us an email at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or find us on social media.
You ready?
Yeah.
Give me something.
I got a pop music question for you. What would we call Belle Biv DeVoe if the R&B group was named after its members' first names instead of its last?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't know. Michael. Belle Biv DeVoe. Michael Bivens. That's the only one I know, I think.
Oh, really?
I think so. Belle Biv. Rob Bell? Is it just someone I know? Biv is Bivens, and DeVoe, I'm guessing, is... What's that? Rob, Michael, and Chad. Chadwick.
No.
I got Michael right.
No, this is... And Belle Biv DeVoe, they were the spinoff of the Bobby Brown... Led group. What were they called again? Not Bad Company.
No,
New Edition.
New Order. New Edition. Thank you.
New Order, New Edition mashup. Wow. Let's get it going. This would be Ricky Michael Ronnie would be the band's name. Ricky Bell, Michael Bivens, and Ronnie DeVoe.
Yeah. How many people got that right?
That one, I don't think I... That was a custom for Mark Davis, actually.
That was just for me. Yep. Oh, okay. Well, extra embarrassing.
I wrote that, you know, I have like a repo for the podcast just in case I run out. And I think I threw that one on there. That might have been inspired by a Twitch question that we asked. Oh, it was. That was a Twitch question.
Oh, OK.
Yeah. So I think some people got that right, actually. I think Kenya got that right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Here's your next question. What color gets its name, or for the first question, I guess, for this round? What color gets its name from the Urdu word for soil colored?
Is it all right? So this might be a case of knowing too much or not knowing too much, but like having, you know, too much specialized knowledge, because I do have some art training. And I wonder if it's going to be ochre, O-C-H-R-E, because that is a very earthy color. It's almost like an orangey color, orangey brown. And yeah, I mean, that does, that sounds like a word that I can't really, you know, name the origin for. You said it was Urdu. I'm not even sure what that's referencing.
It's like around Pakistan.
All right. Around Pakistan. Yeah, I'll go with ochre.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Looking to see if I can find where ochre gets its name. But I can't. The correct answer is khaki.
Oh, khaki. Okay.
Soil colored.
That makes sense.
It does, doesn't it, once you hear it? It's the official national language and lingua franca of Pakistan.
Now, do the pants and shorts get their name from the color, or is it...
I thought
khaki were like a style of pants, but maybe it's just the color.
It is also a style. It kind of like, I think took off. Let me see here. When I go to khaki disambiguation, khaki is a color. There's so many khaki trousers, which are formerly khaki colored chinos. I think people just started kind of calling those pants like chinos, khakis, even right. If they weren't, they were just some kind of earth tone.
I see. All right.
Persian.
I have a soccer question for you. You're going to get this one.
Okay. Yeah. Feel good about it already.
What style of play made famous by Ajax or Ajax, not Ajax. Ajax, it's a Spanish team.
Okay.
Probably still even pronouncing it wrong. And Johan Cruyff involves every outfield player being able to play any position at any given moment. What style of soccer play made famous by Ajax and Johan Cruyff involves every outfield player being able to play any position at any given moment?
What is it when everybody just plays any position? It's a free-for-all. I mean, the first thing I want to say is free for all, but I don't think that's right. I'm trying to think of what they call it. If they have a name for something similar, and like when they pull the goalie in hockey. They call it like a power play. No, a power something is when like someone's down a player. The only thing I can come close to thinking is free for all, which is in English. Is it? I wonder if it's a Spanish word, because the team is a Spanish team.
It is. I'll give you. It's an English term. And they popularized it, but they were not the only teams playing this. They were just like the most famous teams that adopted it. And then it kind of became a more popular style of play after that.
Soccer. Anybody can play any position. I'll just say free for all. I have no idea.
The answer is Total Football.
Oh, never Total heard of Football. In my life.
Also a cool song by Parquet Courts. If you're familiar with the band.
I'm going to see them.
Oh, you are?
In Barcelona.
Primavera Sound. Mm. So jealous that you're going to that.
I'm going to spend a lot of money, but it's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands of all time, Pavement. I don't know if I told you this story, and you're one of my closest friends. I went to Riot Fest. I almost died. I didn't really almost die, but the first time, and maybe the only time I ever kind of had a panic attack, was getting smushed during Nine Inch Nails. Got the fuck out of Dodge, and I was talking to someone about it, and I was like, never again. I don't think it's ever worth going to another fucking festival again.
Because you were like, so, were you up front?
Festivals are just a long, hot day.
Yeah.
It's just a thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are some festivals like, I think it's Pitchfork Fest this year. Seems like a very, you know, bring a fucking quilt with you and throw it on the ground and cry to Phoebe Bridgers festival, which is awesome. But with rock bands and stuff, and just walking back and forth and trying to decide who you're going to listen to, it's a whole thing. Anyway, I was talking to someone and I said, the only way I ever see myself going to another festival ever is if like Pavement reunites.
Mm-hmm.
10, 12 years ago now, I guess, Pavement reunited for some shows. They played 2 shows in New York. I flew to New York to see them. I got tickets for both shows. I ended up having to miss one because of work. Bye bye. Fuck that job. Now I can do what the fuck I want. Within reason. The next day that I made that proclamation, Primavera Sound announces Pavement playing a Primavera Sound. I said, no, I gotta go.
Damn.
Like, this is too fortuitous.
You put it out there.
And of course it was canceled because I was in 2020. Strange little thing called COVID happened. Put the kibosh on that. They reannounced 2022. Pavement's playing again. I woke up at 4:45 in the morning to get ready to buy tickets as soon as they opened. And I got a ticket.
That's great, man. You're going to have a
very
time.
Very excited. Thank you. I'm looking forward to going to Barcelona. I'm looking forward to seeing the sights and sounds. I'm very looking forward to seeing Pavement and just being in that, you know, in that.
You got to go see some Total Football. Energy.
I'll have to check out Total Football as well. Yeah. all right. Here's your second question of this round. What state's famous slogan came from an anti-littering campaign? I need the state.
Yeah.
So at the worst case scenario, you can just guess a state.
Right.
You had a 1 in 50.
I think it would be interesting because this has always been kind of like a cheeky state motto. And I think this would be interesting if it was actually like an environmental message. And I think that would be the state where the environmentally conscious senator and former presidential candidate Bernie Sanders is from. I'm going to say Vermont is for lovers.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Oops. It's a state that's begging you or threatening you to not mess.
Oh, really?
With Texas. Don't mess with Texas.
What?
An anti-littering campaign spawned Don't Mess with Texas.
Wow.
There you go.
That is super interesting. And
I thought that was pretty fascinating.
You wouldn't expect that from Texas because.
Yeah.
Not that I mean, I hate to conflate like the anti-regulation and the environmentalism thing. You know, like they're not always one and the same.
If you think about it, it's a very Texas way of doing it because it's kind of threatening. It's like, mm-hmm. Hey, now don't. You're going to throw that away. Don't you mess with Texas. And it looks down the hat at you all angry. Mm-hmm. Now don't you dare. I'm giving such Texas looks.
Yeah, Texas side glare coming over here.
He's kind of scared a little bit, I think. You're definitely not going to litter around me.
No, take that to New York City.
Boys, get the rope.
All right, my last question for you. Sea creatures, the category.
Seachers, as I call them.
The orca, otherwise known as the killer whale, is the world's largest of what type of sea creature? And I'm looking for a common name, not a scientific name. So I'm not looking for anything in Latin or, you know, Genis or anything like that.
I think I might know this because my ex-girlfriend's son was obsessed with sea creatures. You, my good dude, were kind enough to paint a wonderful, and it still exists to this day in that room. Awesome. I have another roommate. This is like my fifth roommate that I've had where I'm like, I can paint over this if you want. They're like, go ahead and keep it.
That warms my heart.
Yes.
I did a mural in Mark's stepson's room long ago.
Yes. And it's, it was very, very sweet.
Underwater mural, all four walls.
Yes. I think I still have pictures. Maybe we can throw them up in the show notes if I remember. I'm going to say, I think that the orca is actually a dolphin. I'm going to say dolphin.
Well done. Not many got that right. Many people wrote down porpoise, but the Dahl's porpoise is the world's largest porpoise, world's largest Dahl. And it is not the cetacean, which is all dolphins, whales, and porpoises, because, of course, the blue whale is the largest mammal. So dolphin is right in the middle there. And correct.
All right, I'm going to give you a sports question since you gave me one.
All right.
It's kind of current events, but it's evergreen still. This year, 2021, what NFL all-time scoring leader retired after 24 seasons playing with only two teams? All-time scoring leader. No one's ever scored more points than this person.
Peyton Manning is my answer.
It's incorrect. Wrong. Peyton Manning did retire about 4 or 5 years ago, I think.
Okay.
He was a kicker.
Oh.
For the New England Patriots.
Oh.
And later on the Indianapolis Colts. And his name is Adam Vinatieri.
Adam Vinatieri.
Yes.
Okay.
And yeah, he was a kicker for 24 fucking years. 24 years. There was actually a very, very funny meme of what he looked like in the very first video game he was in.
So he is the all-time overall points leader.
No one's ever scored more points.
Not just for kickers.
That's correct. Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty incredible. This is the meme. This is how old Adam Vinatieri is. He looked like that in video games. And it is very blocky and very, very terrible. Yeah. It looks like something from fucking Minecraft.
I was going to say, I didn't realize he played the lead in Minecraft. Steve. All right. Let's take a little break.
Yes.
And then we'll come back with some Rate My Questions.
And some final questions. Don't forget.
All right, we're back, and it's time for some Rate My Questions.
Rate My Question.
We nailed that.
That was beautiful. Time.
Lovely.
It's so harkening back to the days of you and I on Zoom trying to do that and just be like, like how awful it sounded.
We're back, baby.
Yeah.
And we have a Rate My Question from team captain David Holbrook.
David Holbrook.
He writes, hello, friends. David Holbrook here, a.k.a. Explosive Jedi, a.k.a. Rhythmic, etc. I am humbled and honored that my thrice-spoken title was retained. It's so silly, but I always get a smile on my face when I hear it. Of course, David. He continues, that's pretty much all I needed to say, but to keep this trivia related, here's a fun train fact that I've turned into a question.
Okay.
America's first steam locomotive lost a race against a horse-drawn car due to mechanical failure. What was the name of this iconic engine?
What do you think?
Thomas?
You went there.
I don't know. Iconic train engine.
I feel like I have to know this.
and it lost the race. This is like a folk tale, like old Thomas the Tank Engine coming down the tracks.
Never look back. Hey, why are you beating me in this race?
Choo choo.
Where'd the cheese go?
I don't know. Yes, the locomotive ween.
I don't know any famous trains besides Thomas the Tank Engine.
Come on, Mark.
An iconic engine.
Engine number 9.
Hey now. Maybe it's that.
Might be.
Number 9.
Engine number 9. I feel like it's got a name though.
Big Steamer. The Cleveland Steamer.
I hope not.
Is that where it came from? What a failure.
Seriously.
What a mess we have on our hands.
What a mess, I confess. Can you read me the question one more time?
No, I can't. I'm sorry. No,
please.
I'm just
kidding. Please.
America's first steam locomotive lost a race against a horse-drawn car due to mechanical failure. What was the name of this iconic engine? Horse destroyer.
Man, and it broke down. I don't want to sit here thinking forever. I'll guess,
let's go with engine number 9.
All right, we'll go with engine number 9.
All right. You're right. It did have a, it did have a name. It was not engine number 9.
It wasn't Ironsides, was it?
No, it's Tom Thumb. It is Thomas. Tom Thumb. Yeah.
God damn it.
I'm going to give this a P-I lowercase s. A piz.
Piz.
There's no built-in hint. And it's interesting. Popular, I'll give it a lowercase p, too. I'm not sure I get a lot of train requests, but it is interesting. And is it short and sweet? I didn't give it the capital because there is a period right in the middle of this question, and you know I like it. Just one statement.
Succinct.
So you can rewrite this very easily to be that way, though.
Yeah. All right.
What do you give it?
Oh. I'll give it an A. I'll give it an A. Almost an A plus.
I want a little extra something to chew on, but it's hard with the name. Without, I mean, you saw right away. I went to Thomas. Like,
yeah,
hard to give a hint without confirming that answer, I think.
Well, I feel like, what is Tom? Is Tom Thumb something other than the name of the thing?
He was a folk legend, a character of folk legend.
Then I would just say named after a folk legend.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be good enough.
He was
it's also a chain of supermarkets.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so there's some
There's
some hint opportunities right there.
Yeah. What famous locomotive named after or sharing a name with a chain of supermarkets in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex was defeated by a horse-drawn carriage because of maintenance issues?
Perfect. I love it.
Boom.
Yep.
That's how you get an A plus, buddy.
Yep. David continues, still loving the podcast as much as ever. Keep up the good work.
Bless your heart.
Yeah. Thank you, David. David Holbrook.
And we played his version of the theme today.
Yeah, thank you very much for that as well.
Thank you again.
The jazzy miscorrection theme that we heard earlier by David Holbrook.
With a viber slap as well. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very good day.
From proverbial lightkeeper Rick Gilliland. Rick writes, "Hey, Lee and Mark, I changed my name from Patrick to Rick on Patreon after signing up. I know you guys read wrap all the names, so sorry if that caused any weird confusion. We got that updated for you, buddy. I don't want you guys to think I just jumped in for the bonus content and bounced after one day. As amends, not necessary, but we appreciate it. Here's a rate my question.
Okay.
Which, quote, all-American fast food franchise, while owned by Yum Brands from 2002 to 2011, notably served a competing soda product, despite Yum's lifetime contract with PepsiCo. Which, quote, all-American fast food franchise, while owned by Yum Brands from 2002 to 2011, notably served a competing soda product despite Yum's lifetime contract with PepsiCo? Now, this is interesting. It was only owned for 9 years by Yum Brands, an all-American food chain.
Yeah, all-American food chain has me dizzy.
I have an idea. I have an idea here. I think it's KFC. And I think it's KFC because I think I remember seeing combination Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and KFCs at one point. And then they slowly took the KFC away. And then you just had the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. And I know those are both owned by Yum. And I can see KFC being like, you can't serve fried chicken with Pepsi. You gotta have a Coke.
Yeah, what the hell is this madness? Right?
And because they were acquired, you know, later on in 2002, they were like, all right, you've been serving Coke this whole time. We'll let you continue so you don't have like a changeover. No riots in the streets.
I don't think KFC serves
Coke.
Coke, though.
You don't? Oh, I'm not sure either.
I think they serve Pepsi.
Okay, so.
Because I've gone there a couple times before band practice, and I feel like they have Sierra Mist.
Notably served a competing soda product. Despite Yum's lifetime contract with Pepsi.
Well, I mean, the other question is, he doesn't say Coca-Cola.
No.
And that's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. You think it's like a third, like Cheerwine or something like that?
I think it's something weird. Yeah, because I mean, otherwise you would just say Coca-Cola, right?
Yeah. Dr. Pepper?
Putting yourself in the mind of...
Isn't one of these sodas like one of the mainstream sodas, like not affiliated, like it has its own company? RC
Cola. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because Taco Bell, I think, serves Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The Baja Blast is a Mountain Dew product.
Mountain Dew product.
Why don't you see KFC, Taco Bell, Pizza Huts anymore? Why is that no longer a thing, though? I know I've seen them.
Maybe it's Pizza Hut.
Maybe it is. Do they
fast food?
Do they still have? It's an all-American fast food franchise.
That's the other thing. All-American. I mean, Kentucky is in America.
Right. And they are known internationally, you know, like I think in China, isn't KFC a big Christmas dinner meal?
I don't know.
I think so. So they're known as like an American fast food franchise. There's also maybe it's A&W. Didn't they have standalone stores?
Yeah.
So maybe they bought A&W the restaurants, but A&W was like, we have to sell our soda. We can't not sell A&W root beer.
Who would Yum Brands, who would they have purchased that already sold something else? Is that what we think is going on here?
That's my theory.
Is that
it wasn't like they got bought and then they were like, now we want to sell the competitive soda. It's like they already had it and it would have been a pain to switch it over. Wendy's? Or something.
No, Wendy's has Pepsi products, I think.
Yeah, and I'm not sure they were ever owned by Yum Brands. I think they're their own.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't know, really know who Yum Brands owns.
I know they own Taco Bell and Pizza Hut, and they used to have three fast food chains under one roof with KFC. I do know that. A&W would be interesting, though, because...
What is the root beer of Pepsi?
Mugs?
Mug root beer? Because KFC definitely has mug root beer. That I know because
Barks?
That's kind of my soda. Barks is the
Coke
one.
Yeah.
I feel kind of like out of those three, the one that I'm most iffy about is Pizza Hut. I don't know what they sell for soda. I don't.
I just
know
feel like they're still owned Pepsi. By Yum. I think they're still owned by Yum. I don't think they. I could be wrong. But I'm resisting that because I'm like, I've got some confidence that they're still owned by Yum Brands. Because you still see Wing Street, Pizza Hut. And a
burger joint? Yum?
I'm not sure.
They don't own Culver's. They don't own McDonald's.
There's Hardee's, Carl's Jr., Whataburger.
/ Rallies.
White Castle?
Crystal?
I just don't see them as, like, as compelling just because, like, why? What's the soda connection, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we can go with KFC if you want.
I'd almost rather go with A&W. I know that's, like, an out-there answer.
It is.
But the soda connection.
I mean, A&W, yeah, I mean, A&W root beer is not a... It's definitely not a product of
Coke,
Pepsi or yeah. Coke.
Mm-hmm.
And that does go with our theory or my theory anyway, that it isn't a Coke thing because Coke would be too obvious.
Let's do it.
Nathan's? Let's go with A&W. Fuck it.
Answer. A&W restaurants or yes. Just A&W. Explanation. The competing soda was, of course, A&W Root Beer, which is iconic for the restaurant and shares an origin story. Often they even share branding and mascots. However, the two businesses diverged in ownership in 1963 and underwent many independent sales and mergers. This eventually resulted in the strange situation in the question, where A&W restaurants were part of a company that was in general obligated to serve Pepsi products, despite their namesake drink being owned by who, Mark? Dr. Pepper.
Uh-huh.
Pretty sure A&W is the oldest fast food franchise, according to Wikipedia, but couldn't find a quick way to work it into the question because of its fuzzy start years, 1919, 1922, 1923, or 1925, depending on how you count it. Quote, All American is in quotes in the question because A&W restaurant's motto is All American Food, and another intended as hopeful hint for another way to get the answer. Yum's lifetime contract with Pepsi is because they were spun off from Pepsi in 1997. A&W's mascot is Rudy the Great American Root Bear, who briefly was the first food mascot with a LinkedIn profile, which is a fun fact, but didn't fit into the question either. I tried to make sure there were A&W's in Florida, so this wasn't impossible for you guys to suss, but the closest looks like it's in Tampa. Do we not have one here in Fort Myers?
We don't. The closest one is in Auburndale, Florida. Or Tampa, Florida.
There was one in the Edison Mall, wasn't there?
There used to be one in the Edison Mall.
Okay. Yeah,
many, many moons ago.
And finally, we were right. Pepsi's root beer would have been Mug.
Uh-huh.
Rick explains there at the end.
Perfect.
I'm giving this full pibs.
Yes.
I think this is a perfect plus. Question, basically.
It's a great question.
Lots of good hints. Food, always a popular subject. And it's interesting. And I would not rewrite it. This is a great question. Good job, Rick.
Yeah.
And Rick writes, what is your rating, Mark?
Oh, A+.
Perfect. Rick continues, thanks for what you do. I found the podcast in November, and listening to you guys has been one of my favorite ways to get through the pandemic.
We appreciate you. It's been one of our favorite ways to get through it, too.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Proverbial Lightkeeper Rick.
We're both vaxxed, though.
Mm-hmm.
Vaxxed and attacks.
Ready to back. Sass. It's kind of close to sus.
Saxed.
We'll sus and sass here. And, of course... You can write us with a rate my question if you'd like. No-nonsense trivia at gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
All right, bro. I went first, then you went first. Now it's me, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Here is your last question. Movie World. Australia's only movie-related theme park. Is the oldest park worldwide owned by what production company? Movie World. It's Australia's only movie-related theme park. The oldest park owned by what production company worldwide?
Hmm.
Should have read this in an Australian accent.
Give it to me one more time with the Australia.
Oh, it's gonna be so bad.
Already off to a great start.
That's all I'm doing.
Mike.
I need to get Mark Lumsden in here. The fuck, Jesus Christ.
See a little WD on this one.
Yeah.
Movie world. Oh, that was movie terrible. Movie world. I do want the question one more time, though, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Movie world. Australia's only movie-related theme park is the oldest park worldwide. Owned by what production company?
Production company. MGM, Paramount. See, these are all Hollywood production companies, though. Columbia. A24?
I'm going to take the lighthouse ride. Oh, it's terrifying.
Take a midsummer vacation to Australia. Throw Grandpa off a cliff.
Make lobster with crazy lighthouse guy.
Eat chili out of a replica of Robert Pattinson's corpse. Like a seagull.
Yeah, eat a seagull.
Let's see here. Yeah, I have no idea. Movie world. I guess I'll go with... did you say when it opened?
I didn't.
You just said that it was the oldest?
It opened in 1991.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
The other parks owned by this production company are in Madrid and Abu Dhabi.
Madrid, Abu Dhabi, and Australia. Damn. You know, I'm going to go, I don't know why, it's just like all of these American companies, I just don't understand why they wouldn't do something in America first. So it feels silly to even suggest this, but who loves movies more than Steven Spielberg? And he loves pet projects too. So I'm going to go with Amblin Entertainment.
Sorry, that's incorrect. If you see the police, Warner Brothers.
Oh my gosh. Again.
In the late 1980s, a failed film studio lot and its adjacent land were bought out by Village. They entered a joint venture with Pivot Leisure and Warner to develop the land into a theme park. Designed by C.V. Wood, the layout was inspired by Universal Studios Hollywood and Disney MGM Studios theme park, and the opening attractions were designed to educate guests about the processes behind filmmaking. They later went on to include an array of attractions that are based on Warner and related DC Comics properties. Attractions range from thrill rides such as Batwing Space Shot and Superman Escape to family attractions such as Wild West Falls Adventure Ride and Justice League Alien Invasion 3D, entertainment at the Roxy Theater, and the Hollywood Stunt Driver Live Show. Five operating roller coasters, including DC Rivals Hyper Coaster, Australia's tallest, fastest, and longest, and Green Lantern Coaster has the world's third steepest drop angle. So, damn. John,
Warner Brothers Discovery.
If you're listening,
now they're called Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yes. So, if you're listening, John Lewis, all the DC you need, go to Australia. Good day, John. Might tweet bidet mate.
That's a good one. Yeah,
three I like likes. It. I like four likes.
Dude, Twitter's hard, man.
Twitter's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Bidet mate is...
It deserves more, it. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know what?
Episode you know, you title can retweet right there. Me. There's no crime against you retweeting me.
I will.
Does bidet mate not deserve a retweet?
I mean, maybe it doesn't, but maybe it does. Maybe you're right. Well, I mean, I didn't scroll past it. I gave it a like, but, you know.
Retweet your buddy, huh?
All right, man. All right.
All right.
I have a
friends retweet friends.
I have a menu items question for you.
Okay.
Sorry about all the food questions, but it is a popular category and
yeah,
we love it. We love
food. Don't be sorry. Do what you want.
All right. Thanks. We'll get to some non-food questions next week.
I support
week.
You.
I'll pick some other subject matter.
Okay.
BK Udon is a dish that can be found on Japanese chain Marugami Udon menus in the United States, where BK is a substitution for what Japanese word, which means splash? I'll read that one more time. BK Udon is a dish that can be found on Japanese chain Marugami Udon menus in the United States, where BK is a substitution for what Japanese word, which means splash?
You thought I was going to get this.
I did say that in our break, and I know that's the kiss of death to say,
yep,
I think you're going to get it, but I really do think you're going to get this one.
It's one word?
Yep.
Splash. BK splash. Japanese word. Udon. Udon noodles?
Yep. The noodles are splashed with broth, hence the name.
Oh. Can I hear the question one more time?
BK Udon is a dish that can be found on Japanese chain Marugami Udon menus in the United States, where BK is a substitution for what Japanese word, which means splash?
So BK doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the word. It's just substituting a word. And the word it's substituting means splash. I feel like I have to go with ramen. But seems a little too obvious. But udon noodles, splash with broth. BK have anything to do with the actual word? At first I was trying to think of something that like BK would stand for.
Like Burger King.
Right.
Burger King Udon.
But ramen just makes too much sense to not go with it, I think. BK Udon. It's a chain. Splashed with broth. I'm going to say ramen.
No. Mark, I'm sorry. The answer is bukkake. You see, they had to change the name.
Wow.
Because in Japan, it's a more mundane common word. So wow. Eating bukkake udon is no big deal. But here in America, there's a different connotation due to its popularity in the adult industry.
What is it?
Bukkake?
Yeah.
It's when a woman's face is splashed with cum.
By multiple partners.
So that is the that's the connotation here in the States. So they changed it on their menus in California, Texas, and Hawaii to BK Udon. And it should be mentioned that they kept all of their other Japanese menu item names exactly the same. They only changed that one. So definitely seems to be indicated by its American connotation.
Wow. Bukkake Udon.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you can, if you order it in the States, if they'll just, you know, are they supposed to keep a straight face and just serve it to you? Or should they reprimand you and say, no, it's called the BK Udon here.
You've got to imagine that. You've got to imagine that the people working there think of bukkake the way we think of it.
Right.
You know,
it could be very confusing. If you go to
Japan, it's probably you order it and they don't flinch.
Right. You're the one that's giggling when you order it there. You got to be careful, though, if you order bukkake udon at, you know, a California location or something like that. If they have like an OnlyFans side hustle, you might be sold secondary services there. So just a heads up.
Someone just immediately gets on their knees like, oh,
you ordered this.
Yeah, this is what you asked for.
Well, boy. Mark, big old goose egg for me. You got one right. This is typical fare for our Manu Imanu episodes.
Yeah, this is a fun time. I honestly, even though I did very badly and you did very badly, it was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
It was nice having a little you and me time.
We'll do it again soon.
Indeed.
That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. And you could support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Yes, about that Patreon page. You can help us out on Patreon. Thank you to our Patreon supporters, including, and this is, I'm going to fuck this up, because we went through and wiped out the old list and put the new list in, so it's in a different order. It's going to be hard for me. I apologize in advance. Including a big thanks to our quiz daddies, Tim at Pat's Garden. See, already. Tim at Pat's Garden Service and Tommy with the Electric Mud. Our team captains, Kristen, Fletcher, Dylan, Rachel, Jenny, Lydia, Sean, Aaron, David Holbrook, and Gil.
It's Gil.
Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Lucas, Carly, Sarah, Cooper, Justin, Hank, Luke, Manu, Matthew, Mo, Spencer, Lisa, Ryan, Adam, John Lewis, Nabil, Rick G, and Ricky F. And thanks to our Rumble Snailskins, Steven, Kenya, We Do Stuff, Allison, Paige, Kevin, Sarah, Douglas, Alex, Michael C,
Mike Calgary,
Michael J,
Mike Japanese Splash,
and Michael K.
Mike
Kaki.
Mike Kaki. Comma boo. Oh, no. Thank you, Mike.
Yes.
We went there.
And we're sorry.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
69.
And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
Oh. This new list has got me all fucked up. Now I'm like super on edge. We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please.
Motherfucker.
Until next time, No Nonsense listeners,
have a great motherfucker.